honour is all the way through the Bible. You look at the relationship between Father, Son and Holy Spirit, and it's all about honour. Now, when we hear the word honour, what comes to mind for you when you hear the word honour? Respect? Anything else? Honour? Sometimes I think it's just doing as we're told. You honour someone, so you're just going to bow down to them, just do whatever they say. Yeah? Giving them money. That could be honouring somebody with some pennies. Yes, thank you. I'm happy. Yeah? Submission. Yeah, we often align honour with submission. And again, we don't like that word, submission. But I would like to say that actually submission means to esteem to the highest level. To honour somebody is to lift them up, to esteem something, to say, this, they, you are important. You are special. And it also means to add weight to something. Yeah, you know when you add weight to something, you're saying, you know what, this really is important. This is really important. This person is precious. They really are precious. That's about honouring something. Yeah, so honouring, to esteem to the highest level or add weight to. So that's a principle. Father, Son and Holy Spirit do it all the time through Scripture when you start to read. Yeah? And Jesus was acknowledged because when he was doing miracles, those miracles often happened when people were acknowledging who he was, what he'd done. Yeah, they were actually honouring the fact that he'd done stuff. They were honouring who he was and the miracles happened. Jesus, who is he? Look what he's done. Yeah, so honouring. So honouring for me in our church context is about honouring people. We honour God. That's without question. Yeah, so we honour God. We acknowledge who he is, what he's done. We add weight, although we can't add much weight to God because God's just awesome. Yeah, but it's about honouring people. So it's about starting to look at people with different eyes. Starting to look at people through God's eyes. Because I'm afraid to say, I'm not perfect. Okay, I know some of you know that. Maybe all of you didn't. But I'm not perfect. I don't always get it right. I sometimes mess up. However, what I would really like to do is when if because Mike's not perfect either, by the way. Yeah. Honest. You should know. Yeah. But what I want to say is I honour this man, imperfections and all. I choose to love him. I choose to accept him. I might not always like it, yeah, but I honour him. And I choose to look for the good in this man. I choose to look for the good. I'm not going to sit there and look for the negative bits. There aren't any, love, you're all right. Yeah, but I'm going to choose, brownie points, I'm going to choose to look for the positive in Mike. I'm going to look for the good things. It's easy to get sucked in to the, oh, it's not empty dishwasher again. Oh, God, you could have done that hoovering a bit better. Yeah, it's easy to get sucked into the, he could have, should have, or he's not. What I want us to learn to do is to start to honour people in our church by looking for the positives, okay? Now, that's us as a church. We're a family. We do that within our church. We need to do that outside of our church. This is about honouring people. Our mission as a church, does anybody know our mission as a church, by the way? Anybody, what's our mission? What are we here to do? The message, that's right. Our mission is to seek and save the lost. That's why we're here. If we didn't have to do that, God would have took us. But we are here to share the gospel, to share God's love. That's the only reason we're here. But in doing that, we have to actually honour one another. build one another up. And this is about coming under that vision as a church, as individuals within a church. We come together to seek and save the lost. Sometimes we have meetings and stuff, and I'll come back and say, yes, but what's the purpose? Does that meet our purpose? Are we doing what we need to do to achieve our goals? Is doing that going to seek and save the lost? Is doing that going to help our community know God in a new way? Yeah? So that's what we're about. So we come back to our purpose. So we're called as a church to follow that vision. That vision is biblical, and that vision is passed down to us through our leadership team, through the elders. They pass on this vision to us. So for us, it's how do we get hold of that vision? How do we get behind that vision? We get behind that vision by coming behind the men of God. We come behind the leadership. We come up with our cell group leaders. We come in with the elders, with the leadership team, whoever, and we say, your vision is my vision. Can we say that? Your vision is my vision. This church's vision is my vision. I want to get in there. I want to do it. I want to reach people. Yeah? I mean, Romans 13 talks a lot about honouring those in authority. Yeah? And as we honour those in authority, we are honouring God. So as we come behind that vision, yeah, as we honour that vision, then actually we're honouring God and his calling on our lives. So honouring, it's really important. So if you think about this church and the stuff that we've been through over the last few years, number of years, we've been on a journey, a vision. This place is a result of vision. This is a place, is a result of the church, the elders, the leadership having a vision of a place smack in the middle of Ollerton where people can come in, where we can have a great place for church. So we've got a great room, do you agree? We've got a great space. We've got children's work, which we didn't have before. We didn't have space for them. We've got a cafe, great Sunday dinners, which I'm not cooking today, by the way. Yeah? So we've got space. God's, this is a fruition of part of the vision. It's not finished yet. This vision is about reaching our community. So this place is awesome, but if it had nobody in it, it would be dead. Yeah, so far as a church, we've come together, we've worked together, we've honoured the vision, we've honoured people, and we've kept at the heart of it to seek and save the lost. So the next bit is how are we going to keep on seeking and saving the lost? We've got this bit. We have a tool. We have something we can use. So we've got a space. We can bring people to church. But we've created lots and lots of action access ramps. One of the visions we had at the very beginning of all of this was that we would have a cafe where people would sit and have coffee, and that at some point the gospel would be shared, so that we would see people sat in that cafe becoming Christians, that we would see people seeing, hearing the love of God, that we'd have people's lives being completely transformed because they can sit in there and have a cup of tea and a piece of carrot cake. That was the plan. That was the vision. And I have to say, it blesses me when I see Sheila in there with all her friends. I don't know, is it chip and egg and chips? Yeah. Yeah, or having whatever. And I see people in the cafe just with their friends, just chatting. That is honouring the vision of this church. And that absolutely blesses me. And there's loads of people. I could start listing names, but that might go on for quite a while, so I'm not going to list names. But there are lots of people, and I see them in the cafe. But outside of the cafe space, when I see people at Mate Lunch, at your parent and toddler and your cool kids, and all of those children's things that are running all week, when I see people behind the scenes, Alan, bless him, he's the most master hooverer I have ever met. Yeah? I'm going to put one, when you die, we're going to have a Henry alongside you. Okay? No, I'm sure you'll have moved on before then. But do you know what I mean? This man spends hours hoovering this carpet. Yeah, and I have to say, that is honouring the vision of this church. He's honouring. And the people that work in the background, and you turn around. So we don't see lots of stuff that happens. We don't see Nina cleaning the toilets every morning, do you? But she comes in and does it. All these people that are honouring the vision of this church, and that absolutely blesses me. But I want us to get hold of this concept of honouring together as a family. We as a church family need to be blended together. Okay? So I want to talk about soap. Soap. I'm going to talk about soap. Okay, you'll love this. Now, because I like making things, you know what I'm like. Put this up a bit. In my utility room at home, it's been slightly taken over. Okay, but I have some palm oil. I've got some extra virgin olive oil, but I like the bottle as well because I'm really sad. Oh, coconut oil. Yeah, I like coconut milk. Castor oil. Oh, some shea butter. You like shea butter. So here, I've got some oils. Yeah, some bits that you use when you're soap making. Hang on, what else have I got here? Oh, no, that's my shea butter. What's this one? Well, that's some more palm oil. I obviously like palm oil. Here, I've got some essential oil. Yeah, this one's lavender. Happens to be the most popular essential oil that everyone really likes. But I've also got some caustic soda. Does anybody know what you use caustic soda for? Making soap. Spot on. Check you out. What else do you use caustic soda for? Bearing in mind, I bought this at B&Q. Cleaning drains. So caustic soda is for clearing those blocked drains at home. So it's very strong. Can you pop up a picture for me, Matt? Picture of the hands. There we go. It's not very clear there. It's probably clear on the side screens. That is a hand that has been burnt by, this is lye, another word that's called lye. So caustic soda and water. When you put caustic soda in water, it reaches up to 200 degrees. So you, very, very quickly. So it's very dangerous. So you get that on your skin, and it will burn. I put, is there another one as well? Another picture? There we go. They're quite nice pictures. I have got one lovely picture where the burn goes right the way down to the bones because it's spilt on their hands. It is a very strong alkaline substance. And the only thing you're going to get sufficient of to clear it down is lots and lots of water. So we look at these things here, oils. So some of these oils you might have in your home anyway. I presume some of you cook with that. A lot more of us are starting to cook with that, the coconut oil. And those from a Caribbean background or an African background quite often have palm oil in. So these are things we have in. Castor oil was the thing we were always threatened with as kids. Yeah. But these oils all have different properties. They all bring something different. Castor oil is great for bubbles. So if you want soap with bubbles in, you'll put some castor oil. But if I was to make a batch of soap purely out of this, never in a month of Sundays would it set. It's the wrong type of oil to set. But a little bit of that in will make a beautiful bubbly bar. Coconut oil, again, this one is a nice moisturising one. Great moisturising oil. But again, that one, you could make a bar just with coconut oil. So they're still oils. This one's a bit more solid. And I've got some somewhere. I'll show you some in a minute. So these oils, totally different properties. Now, olive oil, that's liquid, just like that's liquid. But you can make a bar of soap out of that, and it will set. what or why. They're different. Doesn't make sense necessarily, does it? That one, though, will take a very long time to cure. You'll be waiting a year before you use a bar of soap that you've made with olive oil. Yeah? And palm oil. Palm oil is the one that you use in lots and lots of soaps. It's a real base one. Can anybody guess what a substitute for palm oil might be?
Whiskey.
Whiskey. Okay, maybe not whiskey. Nope. Lard. And I forgot to bring a block of lard out of my fridge. Lard. Who on earth would think that lard, the most boring Tesco value lard, makes a beautiful bar of soap? What? Lard? When we've got beautiful palm oil and olive oil, why on earth would we use lard? But you know what? It's beautiful. It makes a great bar. And then you've got your pretties, your shea butters. Now I'd like to say that you guys are a bit like bars of soap. In here, in this room, we've got people who do lots of bubbles. Yeah? We've got some bars of blocks of lard. We've got some nice extra virgin olive oil folk. Yeah, who might take a long while to harden up or to cure. We've got some folk who are absolutely rock solid just there, the staple bit that's in there all the time. We've got a few shea butters, the luxurious items. So there's some luxuries in there. This is the fragrance oil. So this is the bit that adds the fragrance, yeah, that keeps it sweet. But I have to say, that can easily be put out. You can kill the fragrance from essential oil very quickly, very easily. But all of these need this. Them on their own are just oils. When you mix your lye, which is very alkaline, very dangerous, with these beautiful oils, do you want to put the picture up of the pan on the stove for me? Here we go. The oils have to be heated up or melted. We need stuff into a liquid state. So heat is applied. How many of you know that heat is applied in your life sometimes? Yeah? Sometimes heat is applied. Now, when we make soap, the caustic soda, when you mix that originally, that goes, say, to about 200 degrees. But when you're making soap, you want everything to be around 80, 90 degrees max. So you have to wait. You have to work at getting that level and that level the same. So helping people be at the same level, getting people to the same temperature so that we can actually make something new. So I brought some bits of soaps that I've made. Here we go, there's mint green. That one's made with tea. So I'm just saying there are so many different components, different bits. You've got tea in there. This one is a Castile. That's the one made with pure olive oil. That's got a few more months yet to cure. But it's still hard, but it's going to take time. It takes time sometimes to cure. We take time to become who we're supposed to be sometimes. This one. This one's got lard in and coconut oil. Totally different colours. So different mixes bring different results. But that's okay, because at the end of the day, we've got the same result. We have soap. This one's my favourite at the moment. Not pretty. Yeah, and that's a high olive oil soap. That will be really bubbly. But that's going to take a long while again to cure, to get ready. This one's got coconut milk in. So again, a different thing. So nice and moisturising and luxurious. That's this one. This is the one with the shea butter. This is the one that actually moisturises you and stays moisturised. Sometimes we need to be around people that will moisturise us and keep us smooth. Yeah? We need people around us that will help us, that they'll stay. And actually, because when you put shea butter on it, it soaks into your skin, creates a nice seal on you. So it moisturises you, protects you, keeps you safe. These ones have been made with coconut oil and Himalayan salt. That's the only, and your lye water. That's the only two ingredients. So you think salt? Salt in a soap? How does that work? But you know what? You like that one, don't you, Mike? You've got that one at home. These are just fantastic, bubbly soaps. But it's that mixture. What I'm trying to get over to you this morning is, in our church life, we have all of these things. But if we want to achieve the vision of this church, we have to be ready to undergo some process. We have to be ready to be heated up, melted down. We need to be ready to have something that might feel toxic. When you read the ingredients on bars of soap, have any of you ever seen it say caustic soda or lye? It doesn't, does it? And do you know why? Because when you mix this with these in the right way, you're not left with palm oil and coconut oil and lye. You're left with soap, which is a totally different product. So in church, I want to say to you, you're not going to stay the same. My heart's desire is that you don't stay the same, as awesome as you may be. Yeah, when you let God do his thing in your life will be totally, totally transformed. You will become something new. And that's not just at conversion. That is ongoing. That bar is ready to use after 2 or 3 days. Yeah? This bar takes 12 months. But that's okay. It's all part of the process. So I want to say, you know, when I'm making recipes, I have to be very precise because I've got to get this balance right. If I have too much caustic soda, people are going to burn themselves because it'll be left in the soap after it's combined. And that's not what we want. So, you know, we have to look in our church life. How are we doing? How are we blending together? How are we looking for the good in each other? How am I looking for the great properties in Derek? You know, Derek, one of the most reliable guys I ever know. He's there at everything. He's there. And if I say, Derek, can you shift that stage? And Derek, could you do? Could you do? You know what? He's just absolutely in there. So I honour Derek for all of those things that he does. Yeah. But I honour other people who come and they pray. They may not be big and visual or there at everything, but they're doing other things. So his mix, Derek's mix, makes a huge difference to the end result. If I didn't have Derek bringing his type of oil, so Derek, I think you're palm oil, Derek, okay? I was going to say lard, but I'll change it to palm oil. Yeah? Yeah, so you're palm oil, your absolute staple. So where are you? Who are you? Are you prepared to be heated up? Are you prepared to be totally, totally transforming? Get it wrong and you can be scarred for life. But I want to say to you, in our church context, if we look after one another, if we look for the good in each other, we look for the hope in each other, we inspire hope. Yeah, we say, wow, I love how you do. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I honour the work that you're doing. I honour how faithful you are. I honour how you always come in here with a smile, even though I know you're feeling really rough. I honour you for doing that. Yeah, when we start to do that. So honour isn't just a passive thing. Yeah, it's not just a head thing. I can't just sit here and think, oh, Mike's really lovely. I really honour Mike for his vision and I honour Mike for what he's doing. If I was to just sit there and think that, that's not honour. That's a thought process. Honour is active. So we need to actually get up and start doing stuff. We need to start seeing people. We need to start telling people. We need to start letting people know how much we appreciate what they do. As part of this process, you know those stick blenders, those hand blenders? I use one of them, which is really powerful. Yeah, and it really blasts through. So not only am I chucking a load of alkaline stuff to burn, I'm also, they're going to blast it with a stick blender. So there are times in your life when you might feel that you're in the middle of the stick blender and what on earth is going off around me. But I want to say to you, keep honouring. Honour the people that may be doing the stick blending. Whether you think it's right or not, honour people. Because you know what? It will make a difference. It will change what's happening. That principle will change your life. So we need to be heated up. We need to be blasted. And then we need to be cured. Yeah, Mike said, why is it sick? No, you need to cure soap. You need to leave it to stand to let all the excess moisture come out. So sometimes we need to sit before God to get rid of the excess. And we need to sit. That's the be still and know that I am God. Be still. For some of us, we might sit a few days. For some of us, it might take a longer time. But again, it actually doesn't matter as long as we do it. So we honour God by putting ourselves in a church context where we accept that sometimes it's going to get a bit hot, yeah, and it might get a little bit difficult when the stick blenders go in, but at the end of the day, we are bringing all of our uniquenesses together because this bubbly uniqueness on its own is no good. So our church and honouring the vision in our church is about acknowledging that we have got our uniquenesses. But it's not about that. It's not about uniquenesses. It's about us blending together as a family. Now, there are some people you look around and think, they don't really want to be blended with them, thank you very much. Or is that just me? But that's the bit where we let God turn the heat up so that we can be changed. We can be transformed. And as we go through this as a church, as we are transformed and made into something so totally new and radical that the traces of all of this stuff are actually gone, but all we have are the benefits of those things, how awesome is our church going to be when we're bubbly, when we're moisturising, when we're smooth, when we smell lovely, yeah? When we're not caustic, when we start to bring all that together, how awesome will our church be and how beautiful to our church out there. I call them our church in the streets. Yeah, the church down my road. How beautiful. So it's a challenge though, guys. Are you prepared to give God the room to heat you up, to maybe stir you up a little bit, yeah, to make you sit still for a while and be in his presence? And are you prepared to stop looking at the negatives and start actively pointing out the positives? Yeah, in our church, there is no room for circles of discontent. We are a church that wants to encourage and to point out the positives. So who's up for pointing out the positives? Who's up for saying, I honour the men and the women around me? I honour the leadership in this church. I honour the vision of this leadership, and it's more than lip service.